Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.
Well, hello, and welcome back to the Podcast of Steel. The summer of Superman is sadly over. It's been one heck of a ride. The Look Up podcasts have come to a close. And what to talk about now? Well, it's time for Supergirl, Derek.
We didn't even get a minute. I was going to say, the summer of, much like Christmas, Luke, the summer of Superman, that's a gift that you celebrate the whole year.
And that's it. It's still around. The merch is still happening. New stuff is still coming out. I saw you sharing some fantastic things from a trip to LA recently.
So, that we were talking about. Yeah, I was. Whenever I'm on the Warner lot, I have to go by the store because the stuff in the store you can't get anywhere else. No. They don't sell it online, especially with the DC stuff. They don't sell it in the DC store. So. It's a must to go by there. I started a little brouhaha, though, because most of the heroes have, especially right now, have their own little vestibules when you go, their own little sections. So Superman, Batman. Superman obviously has a lot right now. When I was there the day after the premiere, the whole lobby was Superman. Now it's Elf and Christmas. So they've scaled back a good bit, but there's still more Superman stuff out than there is almost anybody else. But right behind the Superman section is a Supergirl section. And it's all Supergirl, vague, you know, just the Shield and, you know, more. You can tell it's more Supergirl than Superman stuff. I'll put it like that. However, there was a mug, and it said Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. And the iconography of it was very reminiscent of some of the Superman stuff we've seen this summer, where it would say, like, Last Son of Krypton.
Yes.
And just kind of, it almost looked like knockoff stuff, but not really. And I don't mean that as a dig as the quality, but just like it wouldn't have the typical Shield on it. It would have some weird interpretation of the S or like stars. I'm thinking we were just talking about that binder that I got, and kind of in that same wheelhouse of just a patchwork of different things. It would say look up, or you know, different, or it would have the you're much stronger than you think you are. Stuff like that. Anyway, so the Supergirl mug had Woman of Tomorrow on it. Obviously not the title of the film anymore, per James Gunn. But nothing else said that. How often do you see comic-specific merch?
Yeah.
That's not a thing that happens a whole heck of a lot. So I took a picture of it and was like, hey. I sent it to our buddy with DC Film News. And I don't know if he wants to say in his name or not, but I sent it to him and was like, hey, I hadn't seen this and I hadn't had a chance to post it yet, but he was...
Have you seen it?
Because he was posting about the... Obviously, I think Supergirl's going to have a presence at Comic-Con in Brazil. Or CCXP, whatever. Yeah, this week.
This is why, hence the chat, we needed to get online before the world goes crazy.
And the Supergirl Instagram handle is apparently, you know, taken off this week as well. So... I just sent it and I said, I hadn't seen this. And everybody ran with it, all the other, you know, fringe accounts and everything. And which is fine, all well and good. But I, you know, then I got just started getting trash. That's been available for a year. That's just for comic. That's not for. I was like, I just posted a mug. I didn't say, hey, here's a first look at merch for the new Supergirl film. I didn't say any of that. All I said is, well, that's a coincidence. I just happened to see this in the Warner store today. So I deleted it, being the good reporter that I am, because I don't need people coming after me.
Integrity that you have there. I was at the Batman event, so yeah, 2024. And that's when I first saw the Superman logo, the new one in the wild, on official... Right. Marketing, and I shared that picture because why would I not? And people were like, "Well, that logo's been out for ages. We know what it looks like." And I was like, "That's not what I'm trying to say. This is the first time I've seen it in the wild, and I'm excited for it. Let me have my fun."
Well, and that's what all the comments were like. It's been available for a year. And I was like, okay, well, I was just here not too long ago. I go multiple times a year, and I didn't see it when I was here last time. My bad. yet again, I did not say first look at Supergirl merch or anything like that. I just shared a picture of a mug that was comic specific. And having been a comic book fan for 40 years, you don't see a whole lot of comic specific merch.
No. Not at all.
So I thought it was much in the same vein as the like Last Son of Krypton mugs and notebooks and stuff we had seen like that with Superman. I digress. It was or wasn't, but either way,
it was
nice little jaunt to the Warner store, regardless.
Yeah. So when I went out there for a San Diego Comic Con, I was like, I have to visit the shop. I'm not going to try to have a budget, but if there's things there that I physically cannot get on other websites. I can remember contacting the store saying, I'm coming over from England. I've seen some things on the website that can't ship to the UK. Do you have them there? They were like, no, all the stuff that we have in the store is exclusive to the shop. And I was like, oh no, that means I'm going to have to get so much stuff. Cups, mugs, ties.
With it all.
Oh no, I had a system. It was my suitcase was like the champion mode of Tetris. It was just all so perfectly put in there. I think I had socks in a giant glass because I got one of those big plastic sippy cups. Everything was wonderfully packed. But I you kindly sent me a video from there the other day, and I was thinking, oh, damn you, Derek.
I have once before, I do remember having shipped myself stuff because obviously...
Yeah.
We have so much other things to talk about. Warner Brothers is a city. Everything is there on the lot. Hospital, you know, grocery, you know, restaurants, everything. So there is a post office, obviously, on the studio. So I just went over to the post office and mailed myself.
See, rookie mistake. I should have done that. There was so much stuff that I didn't get because I just physically didn't have the room for it. That is a fantastic idea. Fantastic.
I know. I got a new a puffer jacket that has the WB logo on it, and I am obsessed with it. It'll never get cold enough for me to wear it, but I am obsessed with it. And I am a huge fan. I've always said if I get a tattoo just to do something a little different, I would get the Saul Bass Warner Brothers logo.
Don't.
From the 70s, because it's my favorite. It's like one of my favorite logos of all time. Obviously, it opens... 78, yes. Donner Superman, yes. So there's some correlation there for me, because I don't want it just a Superman shield. I want to do something a little different. But they have holiday ornaments
with that logo.
Of the Saul Bass logo on it, which they never sell Saul Bass logo stuff. So
I got a lanyard just because it had all the various logos on it, and that was on it as well. I thought, I have to have that. It's such an iconic logo. That's coming home with me. But yeah, beautiful shop. I need to go back. But yes, Supergirl. I think we can sense it. There's so much hearsay that something's happening. As you said, we've seen the handles go live. There's a hubbub. There is electricity in the air. And
it feels vaguely familiar of this time last year.
The absolute world blew up for Superman. And
for us.
And we got that trailer and everything came with it. And now, who knows, maybe, you know... We've always believed in the harder we work, the luckier we get. And we had a fantastic year of getting up to all sorts of very exciting adventures, reporting for the legacy of Superman and DC Comics and Warner Brothers combined. Again, that new page is turning now, where we're soon going to have a new trailer, a new promotional tour. And I'm sure they're not going to slow down with this one, just like they did with the Superman film.
No. In fact, I think it'll be a very different targeted campaign, obviously. We still don't really know what the tone of this movie is going to be, but after seeing the brief look at Millie in Superman, I've got a better feeling for what cosmic adventure awaits for us. So I think there's going to be a lot of humor. I think it'll be a little bit, I won't say darker tone, but I think rougher around the edges than we got. With the Boy Scout this summer.
Well, I always love your theories and your ideas and your tangents where you go off on wonderful little treks. Tell me, what are we going to see? Not what you think, but what we are going to see.
You know, I think it would be easy to assume that we could see a very rock and roll heavy trailer with this version of the character. If you've read Woman of Tomorrow, that kind of, you know, clicks. It being a, yet again, space odyssey kind of thing, I would hate that it would get probably too compared to or aligned with Guardians of the Galaxy. In some ways, if they do go that route, obviously Gunn did not write or direct this, but I could obviously see the allusions if they did use a, you know, Joan Jett bad reputation or I guess Cherry Bomb was Guardians, that'd be way too on the nose. But I definitely could see them doing something of that caliber for this. With Superman, we were reestablishing something that has been done a few times here recently, but that trailer had to do a lot of heavy lifting.
Yes.
Last Christmas. You and I were going to be on board regardless, but there's, you know, millions out there that have been burned or, you know, wanted something that didn't come to fruition or wanted a different version than what we got. So that first look really needed to bring people into the fold, and I think it did it. I think, you know, once we heard what John Murphy did with that electric guitar, what Fleming was able to do with the score as well, that was good. With Supergirl, it's a different animal. I'm a huge fan of the 84 film.
Yes.
I wore that VHS out as a kid. I think Helen Slater was probably my first crush. If it wasn't her, it was Harmony Starr from Ernest Saves Christmas. But, you know, what are the two? I don't know. But that's been our, other than The Flash, that's been our first on-screen theatrical Supergirl. Sasha obviously did a phenomenal job with a very different take, and this is going to be even more different than that. And that's not to say anything about Melissa for several seasons on the CW. Just TV being a different animal. But they're playing up the drunken girl, you know, the drunken party girl angle a little bit. So what say you with what you hope to see from the outset? Because I do think they're going to lean heavy into the
heavy
the chaotic energy.
Just from that, again, that one scene, it was a moment in the film I wanted to go back in again just to witness that moment. We hadn't seen anything really of Supergirl at that time. I'd only seen Millie in the Dragon series. I didn't have much more to go on from that, and so that moment came and I was like, that's Kara. That is from that story. The character brought to life. There was elements of, you know, a little bit of Tank Girl in there. I was getting that that grittiness, that edgy, angry teen that's got, you know, an issue with everyone. And the story is a fantastic story. I thought I'll just read a few chapters today.
Yeah.
Sat down and lost about an hour. Because I was just going back and looking through it. And then, as we were talking earlier on, we were trying to... It's such an incredibly visual book. So much soil, though. It adds a massively different element to the storytelling of it. For me, it's very similar to All-Star Superman, which is one of those books that everyone says, if you have to read a Superman story, read that one. But it's got the space element.
Some people say that. We don't say that.
We don't say that. But it's got that space element, like you said, like Guardians of the Galaxy. But there's also massive, massive Western themes to it. Of we've already heard people find the resemblance of True Grit and stories like that to it, of finding someone to find that vengeful mission and see it through to the end.
Three Amigos.
Yes. But it's got that in it as well. And again, I was trying not to get lost in the story yet again whilst flicking through the pages. And I was just thinking, this on an IMAX screen, if they get this right with all of these different planets, all of these wonderful different creatures and animals that we've never seen before, it's going to bring that more, again, fantastical bit of storytelling. That we got a bit of that with the kaiju in Superman, but you can't turn a page in that story without seeing something weird, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
And the CGI and real life effects that we're going to see in this are going to be fantastic. And that's why I think with whatever trailer we get, whether it be just visual, no dialogue, no music, it's going to be really exciting, and I'm ready for it. Just before Christmas as well. It feels like we're being spoiled again, like this time last year.
I know. The visuals, but for me, I don't want to interrupt you, but just you saying that makes me think that's one of the things I'm most intrigued to see if yes. they're able to pull off what that's going to correlate from the panel to the screen.
There are, I'm sure, going to be, I hope anyway, complete replicas from page to the screen, because there are so many just standout moments in this comic that just grab you and yeah. really just pull you into the paper. And without any spoilers, there are some fantastic, let's say, side characters in this book mm-hmm. that are magnificent. We know that Lobo has been added to the film, which was an interesting move when there are already so many fantastic characters in the book.
Yeah.
If we see Lobo, will we see Lobo in the trailer? Will we hear a grunt or the rev of a motorbike or some chains?
I thought it would be weird. I was thinking that the other day. I was like, do we see Momoa, or are they going to go in on that? And then I watched I saw Zootopia the other night, and they played the Moana live action trailer in front of it, which was very much kind of what you're talking about there. A lot of glimpses, not a whole yes. lot of just a little VO, mostly music. They don't even show the Rock's face.
No.
In that. So I was like, they could do something similar there. But
what I would like, if we're talking predictions of what we're going to get, and hopefully yeah. we can clip this when the trailer finally does go live. At the end of the trailer, if it's a fade to black moment, I want to hear a Zippo lighter open up. Or just the spark of that lighter.
Well, let me ask you this, because with the cigar, that's good, or the chains,
yeah.
Clanking. Let me ask you this, though. We do not know, which is, I guess it's not too odd. I'm trying to remember how far out we knew about Murphy ahead of the trailer. It doesn't seem like it was that far, because it seemed like it was a minute before we finally got confirmation on Murphy, and then later on Fleming for Superman. We don't know who is scoring Supergirl.
No.
That news has not been announced yet. I absolutely adore Jerry Goldsmith's Supergirl score from the 84 okay. film. I think it's incredible. Goldsmith, I mean, obviously a lot of Star Trek, a lot of other things, but I have always adored her theme from that movie. And I think I could see them doing this, but I mean, obviously probably yeah. not. I don't see them borrowing in the same vein that they did with Williams for Superman, because obviously that's in a totally different ballpark than this. I think you walk up to the average person on the street and you played the Goldsmith theme, nobody would clock that to the average ears, but I would in a heartbeat. So find me on the street and play it for me. But I would absolutely love to hear a rock and roll rendition, much in the same vein that they did with the Williams theme of the Goldsmith theme.
It would be nice. I'm sure they're going to somehow honor the Supergirl legacy, as it were, as well. I'm sure they could find a way to get Helen in there as a cameo. Who knows? Maybe some sort of a clockwork butterfly flying across the screen as well.
The Omegahedron mentioned something, yeah, anything.
It. So one of my absolute claims to fame is that one fateful day in, I think, 2019, I had breakfast with Helen Slater.
Look at you.
That, by all means, though, spoiler alert, she wasn't a separate booth, but it still counts.
She didn't know she was having breakfast with you, but that's
fine. No, no. But I was just freaking out. I thought, this Helen Slater is here. This was for the Superman celebration back in the day.
Oh, well, you were... Yeah, she knew you were part of it.
Yeah, she was there. That's fine. But we did the Q&A, which was a magical moment. But I was nervous, as I always am. You don't know how these people are going to be, say, in sure. real life. But you've got to know that they're going to be a nice person. That is your always your hope. And as soon as I heard her just having a fantastic conversation with all the waitresses and the waiters in the restaurant, I was like, I'm at ease now. I know that anybody that treats anybody with respect that works in the food industry, they're going to be good people. And it was a fantastic moment of realization that, yes, you can almost breathe out a little bit now that Helen Slater is, in fact, a wonderful person. And, it was fantastic. But there were so many people there to see her, and the way that she interacted with all the guests there was brilliant. But would it be too easy for a Helen Slater cameo? Could that happen at some point?
You know, I don't know. Obviously, I think they're wanting to not do what has been done before with these. There was, a lot of places where that could have happened in Superman.
Yes.
We've had so much of that legacy casting over the years. Obviously, Helen playing Kara's mom, adopted mother on Supergirl, and then she was technically in The Flash, although you wouldn't know it, despite the fact that she was literally on set and in the suit, yet they, it ended up, the direction was taken to make it look very different than the multiverse, to look very different than people look in everyday life. Mileage may vary on whether or not you enjoyed that.
Yes.
But that's all I'll say about that. But
well done.
I think obviously yes, that's a great thing to do, to pay tribute and nod to what has come before. Will they? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know they don't have to rely on it, because there is again there's already, which was again my confusion as to why Lobo had to be involved. Again, it's a great character, which is great, and to add a twist to the story is fun. How? We know that in the story, lots of different planets and worlds are visited, so they could easily add that into it as well. Does Lobo come to the aid of Supergirl? Is there not just going to be a mysterious character that's just, spooned into the story?
But chasing after her, that kind of thing.
I mean, I wouldn't mind.
Maybe she got into some trouble on one planet, and he's come to collect.
And that's what I always like about those sorts of westerns, or those classic American movies from the 70s and 80s, like Every Which Way But Loose, and sort of all those moments where it goes from sort of scenario to scenario. Films like The Cannonball Run, where anything can happen.
Yeah.
And there are elements of that in this book, in the fact that it's, as a mode of storytelling, it's got that protagonist in it, but there's also so many different avenues where it goes as well. But it just still keeps you hooked when you see the character development with all these other different characters as well. I don't want that to get lost in the film, which is going to be really impressive to see how they do it. But with that story and those visuals and Millie's performance, it's going to be one heck of an experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder, too, if... this is something you and I said back after watching Superman. I don't know about that. We did an episode back a few weeks ago for Shu where we talked about our respective summers, you getting to watch the movie in advance. I would assume in that smaller screening where you got surprised that you were going to see the film with Gunn and Safran in attendance, that the reaction to her entering the fortress was well received in the room. It was one of the, it was a highlight at the premiere. a big round of applause when she crashed.
It was, for me, the whole point of us when we go to see films several times, it's because we have a checklist of things that we love to experience.
Yeah.
It's first of all watching it for the first time and trying to take it all in and just watch every single inch of the screen as much as we can. And then we want to go back for the dialogue. Then we want to go back and try and spot the Easter eggs and the references and the jokes we didn't get the first time round. For me, the second time I saw it was the multimedia screening. And I was fighting with myself from looking at the screen and looking at the audience, because I knew what was coming and I knew I wanted to watch it again, but I also wanted to feel how the rest of the building was feeling. And everyone laughed in the same places and gasped and got excited. But when that moment came, when Supergirl barged back into the fortress, I was set back and I was quiet because I wanted to see what everybody else thought. what they're going to be as excited as this room of people were a couple of days ago. And it was hilarious. Many people knew the character. Many people were like, well, why is she drunk? Why is she acting that way? Yeah. Why is she wearing a big raincoat? What's that all about?
Yeah,
why is
she in the trench coat? Yeah.
But it was just perfect. And then to see the relationship with Crypto and Kara as well, it was like, yes, this is what I wanted to see on the screen. And for that mere seconds of screen time, I was so content and excited and hopeful for the future. And I hope we get to see that same energy in the trailer, whenever that may come out. But I'm excited to see this world come to life.
I, too, after watching it, and this is something you and I talked about, I hope her entrance in Superman is at the close of this, of whatever version of Woman of Tomorrow we're getting.
Yeah, no,
because obviously things don't go well for some beloved characters within the pages of Woman of Tomorrow that we hope are all copacetic. I'll leave it at that if you haven't read.
I mean, when it came to sort of, obviously Crypto was a huge part of this film's success, and I'm 100% fine with that. But when people were sort of asking, what stories can I read now? I want to read more about Crypto and Supergirl. What can I read? Yeah. And I was like, let's go back to the Golden Age.
There's a Venn diagram here that I'm not sure you want to go in the middle of, depending on how beloved you felt that character was.
I mean, those that know, know. But yes.
How horrible. I mean, that's a Joss Whedon thing, to give you a film of Crypto, to put him on all the merchandising, to make him, you know, the almost the mascot for DC, because they were like swapping him and Eagly out for social media profile pictures and everything, and then have a movie where he ultimately,
I would like,
doesn't make
ideally again for this film just to end where Superman ended, and then we see Kara go off, and then we see her go off to the tavern. However, this origin story begins off with, but I want to see her with that hooded cloak, sit down in almost a Lord of the Rings type tavern and just sit down and drink her blues away, as it were. But
we've only gotten so many official looks at this point. I know we had a shot of Millie from behind when filming started with the chair back. Mm-hmm. There was the shot of her reading the comic, I believe, in her trailer.
Yes.
That she posted. And then we got the, I mean, I wouldn't call it a teaser poster, but we got the lookout graffiti just a matter of days after Superman's release, once they weren't holding back the spoiler anymore. No. That
with
that
like
she
a like a
film.
Sort of a big gulp 7-Eleven type drink, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I mean, is that a clue? Will there be another planet that gets visited on, you know? I mean, she wouldn't be able to get drunk here, so that's
exactly. And I do like the fantastical. I don't wanna draw those comparisons to Guardians like we talked at the outset, but it's hard not to, because it is kind of that rollicking. I mean, I like Western better. I think that's good.
Yes.
But it is a Western, a space Western, in a way. I mean, there's literally a horse in it too.
There's a horse in it.
Yeah.
And there's swords and there's bows and arrows. It's all there. It's all there.
It's in you know, the saving and that kind of thing. A very different kind of saving. So I think it's a good story to kick off her introduction. Peacemaker. I forgot about that. We saw that brief glimpse in Peacemaker where they rewrote the Justice Gang showing up, quote unquote, and Superman and Supergirl being there. But all that to say, I think that the version that we're going to go with here has got to be the fantastical, as you were saying. We did see a glimpse of that with Superman. We know Lanterns is coming. That's very space heavy and all that kind of stuff. This is going to be a good first real look, though, even we kind of scratched the surface of Peacemaker, of what lies outside our comfort area in live action, because it's very different than what's come before with DC on screen. But this planet hopping and all this kind of stuff is going to give you a glimpse of what really some far out characters lie outside of our solar system.
And that's why I'm excited again for the scores, not necessarily the songs, because I'm sure they're gonna play into that by playing different types of music for each different location. I want bagpipes. I want xylophones. I want the weird and the wonderful. Yeah. I want didgeridoos and bassoons. I want it to be a crazy, crazy ride. Because we know that they filmed, I believe, some in Scotland.
Yeah, right, I believe. Right.
And I visited Scotland twice. Once for like a day, and then I went for an adventure a few years back and managed to do a tour of the Highlands. And it's just such a mysterious and beautiful land that could easily work for an alien environment with different biodomes everywhere. So that is going to be magical to see. And we know they can do some magic at Leavesden because they have done it in the past and will do so in the future. But just, I can't recommend people enough to read this book just to get an idea of what visuals can be created in a comic and in a film, and again some of the creatures that do appear in it. I've seen that
I'm excited for that pocket edition to come out.
I was going
to
say it's out now. I've seen a few
people. Oh, is it out? Okay.
Yeah. Because I mean that's just perfect for just taking on the go. I'm hoping to see lots of people in cinema seats reading that. I saw that with All-Star Superman when that was given out in some UK cinemas. There's a deluxe edition that is on my list for Christmas, so I'll have to see if I've been good enough to receive that. But just I can't recommend that particular story enough for fans of fantastic storytelling and just great heroes in general. So, yeah, I'm sure we're going to talk soon when this new trailer does come out and we can talk about it, because just like last time, it was a fantastic, exciting time to talk about just Superman in general. Now we can talk about Superman's cousin. So it's wonderful time to be alive.
Any time to talk about the House of El, I love.
That's it.
Do you expect it? I mean, it would be very easy to throw Kara iPod or, you know, something musically. Not a Microsoft Zune. Again, those comparisons would, I think, not be, while warranted, I don't know how well received they would be. But you do a movie with a Supergirl like this and a Lobo and Plant, you almost expect it to have some heavy drops.
There's pockets in that trench coat. She must have said, like, an iPod or a Walkman. And even if it doesn't happen, James Gunn still released playlists for all the characters of Superman. And again, each one was just perfection. The man knows how to make a mixtape. I've not completed it yet, but I have been working on a Supergirl playlist. There's some interesting choices on there so far. It's got some of the classics. I do want, hopefully, if we can get some Blondie in there, that would be nice and fun.
That seems... I was thinking but some Madonna.
Too easy. Madonna? See, that could work.
I had the thought of Madonna. I mentioned Joan Jett earlier because I don't know why, but that look up, not a teaser poster, but that first thing I saw, I was like, well, that has bad reputation written all over it. I could just hear... I could see an animated version of this image of her walking up and leaning against the wall and it getting spray painted and, you know, Joan Jett playing in the background, but
some of the very, very colorful planets that we see, there's got to be some synth there just to homage a bit of Blade Runner. Hoping if we could get, you know, it'll be expensive, but if they could get some Pink Floyd in there, that could work.
I would like
the one song that did come onto the playlist straight away was Johnny Cash, Wayfaring Stranger. And just for that, the visuals of them going across dusty plains and almost, you know, savannas, as it were, that could work. But I mean, I was getting lost in a rabbit hole of songs that could feature in it.
Oh, it's an endless list. I tell you where my mind kept going was, and this may be the Flash Gordon kind of it all, but I kept thinking Queen.
Oh, see,
was where my mind kept going with it all, because I could see that being very.
It's a space rock opera. That could work.
You know, Princes of the Universe and Who Wants to Live Forever and you know, not to do the Highlander of it all too much, but I could see them going that route.
We can throw some glam in there. We can get some T-Rex in there. We can get it working. That could just blast out.
Oh, you spoke to me. T-Rex in Supergirl in the House of El shield on.
That's it all perfect. Works. But yeah. I was also thinking there's some almost country-esque vibes with the Black Keys where a few songs there could work. There's so many different...
Johnny Cash, like Waylon Jennings. Yeah. I mean, there's some options there.
Lots could work there.
But as I mean, well. So if, and then, you're going to walk into a bar that's probably going to be playing music that you don't know how, but I would also love it almost if it was alien
yes,
covers.
I was gonna say, like,
of actual songs we do,
but I want a Happy Days jukebox moment where someone just comes up and gives it a good whack.
It's a bar fight, and you would expect it to be Rolling Stones, but it's an alien version of it.
Oh, see, now I want an intergalactic roadhouse scene where it all just kicks off. Right? That's when Lobo comes out. That is when the lighter comes out. Oh, yeah. Okay, now I'm invested.
Just a bottle smash.
Yes.
Hit play on the jukebox. You would expect it to be paint it black. As sung by Mick Jagger, but
I was going with Wild Horses for one.
Well, okay, yeah, either way. Different sides of the same coin.
But I would like if it was more like the marine type planets. We could go for Barracuda. That could come slam. See, there's just so much there. Everything's got so much potential. But again, we know that James Gunn isn't directing this or creating the score.
No, and it does lend itself more to that, I guess.
But he will, I'm sure, just like with the art of the Superman book, he will put his little spin on things when the press tours begin and they can start talking about this. It's not his baby as such, but he's clearly got lots of respect for all the people that he's put in charge, and it's going to be really fun to see.
Do you think... See, I like to think... This may be because I watched Volume 1 of Stranger Things the other night, but I was like, I could see, you know, very publicly Kara being like, heavy metal, hard rock, you know, everything like that. And alone, she's like listening to Tiffany. Like, I think we're learning her Tommy Haynes and the Shondells. That could, Wilson Phillips, you know, to herself,
it's
silently.
It's all there, yeah.
Do you think we're going Kara or Kara? That was one thing I got annoyed with that we didn't learn in the movie
Kara
that we don't
is
know.
Quite... Californian-esque, isn't it? It's got a bit of twang there too.
I do not like Kara. That was my chief complaint with the CW series. Is it just? I don't know.
It wasn't quite there. Well, I think we'll find out. That will be directed straight away. Is it? You know, there'll be a poll. James Gunn's probably already planned that out. we've tested it. It didn't work. We're going back to the other one. Oh. Just because it's just nipped into my brain. Well, they also add Xanadu.
I hope it's Kara.
They need to add Xanadu to the playlist, I think.
Frank Ramblings, if you're listening, I know that just spoke to your your heart in ways I can't even imagine.
Every now and again, it comes on supermarket radios here in the UK, and I'm just very, very happy. Yeah? I don't know why. Yeah, it just comes on out of nowhere. I'm thinking, what is this? What's going on? This is just wonderful. So, yeah.
Frank loves some Olivia Newton-John Xanadu, and more power to him. I can't fault him for that. But that would be a choice if that show. And I say that a lot. You know me. I say Xanadu a lot. But if that were to show up in the movie, he keeps a bell on his desk for very important dinging when something makes him happen. And I think that would get one.
See, certainly. And if that happens, we know that James Gunn has been listening to this. Somebody at DC, Warner
Brothers.
Just please put us in the credits as, you know, advisors. That's all I ask.
It's not too late to put you and I in as aliens in a bar.
I'll be a bartender for sure.
I could see you and me getting into a scuffle.
That's it.
In a bar scene.
But again, I've been watching Guardians, and the amount of variety when it comes to makeup and characters and the extras, it's hard to notice everything on the screen at once. And we're going to get that with this film. You're going to need a fine-tooth comb to get every single detail, which is exciting for me. And to see that on IMAX all the way. And there are a few scenes already in this story that I really hope... excuse the pun, but again, they do it justice because we need those moments.
There are so many splash pages in that again, I can't wait to see how that transcends to the screen. Because I think you're really, I think it's going to be a tough job to do. Not that they haven't already done it probably at this point if they're doing it, but I can't imagine having the groundwork, the blueprint of a book like that, where the art is so integral to the story, and then not correlate that to the theatrical version of it.
So I'm going to go to just like three random pages.
Yeah.
Right. One.
Right there. You don't have to go far. That's the thing. Looking away, you don't have to look at it. Just flip, and you've got
a two.
it feels, there's so much of it that feels Kirby-esque.
Watch me land on a crypto picture. Nope, we're safe.
Not that crypto picture.
No. And again, just more classic, full-on.
I love how everyone is drawn on it. Faces. I almost love the art more than the story itself.
It's hard, again, going back and just, I try to, especially when the whole book is in your hands, which is why I love collections, I try not to read the speech bubbles. I just want to see the artwork. Yeah. That's why I love when art books are released and you can just try and get lost in your own story, because all these pictures tell their own story beautifully by themselves. So, again, the people that worked on the visuals for this film and the special effects and the makeup and the costumes, if they read this book, which I hope they all did before working on this film, it's going to be, what have I got myself into, sort of thing, because it is just absolutely mind-melting. You know,
James was very, I call him James because we're friends. James was very good about sharing up front what Superman was going to draw from. And really with this, it's we haven't seen much other than Woman of Tomorrow, to the point it was the title at one point.
Yes.
And then dropped from it. So I'm interested to see if they pull from much else to the very few things James has said about her following the cameo in Superman. I'm interested to see what her storyline is like from Krypton. She remembers Krypton. I know at one point he said she didn't know her aunt and uncle. She didn't know Jor-El and Lara. So I'm wondering how that, you know,
plays out.
Her coming to Earth versus everybody knows how Superman came to Earth.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Crash.
Yes.
Kindly Couple. You know, Doom Planet, Kindly Couple. All that good stuff. Supergirl is open to a little bit of interpretation just in the way they've done her in the past. Obviously, she's had a very interesting history with different versions of the character in comics. But, you know, in a lot of iterations, she gets, you know, I think of how many times we heard, my pod got knocked off course in the previous Supergirls, to the point it was a joke on the House of L, an inside joke of anything. Anytime we got on a tangent, we would say our pod got knocked off course. So I'm interested to see what her coming to Earth is like versus what Clark's was in the story. If we even get any of that.
I think hopefully we will get some sort of origin story. The book is very sort of linear. We see, you know, there's not much to and fro in there. It's, again, though, with the protagonist, it's got that fantastic storytelling, which is, again, similar to All-Star. It's got that narration running through, which brings you closer to the story. But I would like a bit more of some origin story for Supergirl. We don't always get it, but when we do, it's open to interpretation. But there's, again, I've been up into the depths of my comic storage in the loft to get some more Supergirl stories out and about. And there's been some absolutely epic tales over the years with very different artwork and different origin stories. I'm trying to compile a list for, and again, the different looks that Supergirl has had over the years. Anything
like Sterling Gates's run, like any of that is really good. I've enjoyed a lot of the different versions. And to that end, it's kind of what I want to see how they do. You know, does it open with her talking to like a alien therapist and like, okay, well, here's my backstory, you know, that kind of thing. We see a montage set to like a Joan Jett kind of flashback, that sort of thing. I think you got to do the grandiose scale of Superman and the, I don't know, to me, maybe it's not that way to everybody, but I think the it's almost like Homer's Odyssey, the him coming to Earth. Like, that's such an important part of Superman's story. And we kind of skipped out on that just a little bit this time around, because we have seen it so many times before, and James was like, you know, why do we need to see Clark come to Earth again? Why do we need to see the Waynes shot again? I don't disagree with that. Personally, for me, I always want to see how he comes to Earth, because I love the Kents finding Clark, and, you know, and him being adopted and Krypton exploding, all that kind of thing. But audiences aren't as familiar with Supergirl.
No.
They know, most of the time, they know that she's his cousin. Unless it's a couple dressing up for Halloween as Superman and Supergirl, and I always want to look at, hold both of your hands and say, what are you doing?
What are you doing? But, there's children here.
Why? Why?
What are you doing? Oh,
this isn't Alabama. So I'm from Mississippi. I could say that. So I'm always curious how much hand-holding will need to be done this time around, because we were able to check that off pretty quickly with the opening crawl. Yeah. And Superman with the three of it all, but I could see this being lent to like a voiceover montage, done cheeky fun kind of version, because it is going to be very different than loving Kansas farmers find, you know. Yeah. that's not quite Kara's story. Yeah. So
just a wee bit different.
Yeah, especially in the tone of Woman of Tomorrow. So
yes. But either way, I'm very excited just to get an official glimpse of it. I've tried so very, very hard with all things to avoid set photographs and people filming on set, which is just absolutely the worst.
Yeah.
So like anything official, anything that we are supposed to see.
In this day and age, can you trust it? Do you know how many Marvel Doomsday AI leaks I've seen in the past like 4 days? And I'm to the point where I'm like, is that real? Like, I don't even know anymore. And I don't like that at all.
I saw one with all the X-Men. I thought, hang on, I was counting fingers many times.
Yeah. But now the hands look pretty decent most of the time.
They know.
That's not,
now they know.
You can't do the Princess Bride rule where you count the hand.
anybody want to
got six fingers or not.
No, that's the way. But it's exciting times. It feels like we're at the same, almost the same spot we were at last year. It's excitement. There's electricity online. There's people that are wanting to know more. And I think, with the Comic-Con circuit coming to an end for this year, we're going to get some news very soon.
I think sooner rather than later. Obviously, Avatar is coming, I think, the premiere is tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
Or tomorrow night. I saw them setting up for it the other day, much in the same place where I stood this summer. They were building the rock cliff islands, whatever you call, there in front of the theater when I was at the El Capitan the other night. And the trailer's supposedly going to be attached to it, we've heard. So we have to pace our... I don't know if you've thought far enough out, Luke, though. Like, we got so heavy ingrained into this the end of last year, and the train has not stopped for you and I all year long. We weren't right into this, but Man of Tomorrow, the same cycle is going to happen yet again. This time next year, we're going to be sitting here waiting for a trailer for Man of Tomorrow.
I'm doing the
same thing all over again.
I've got the Lexi out already, so they're just little mascots around me, just getting ready for the information. Can't get in focus, you rat bag. Here he is. But again, there's rarely been a slow internet day now since about this time last year when we've been getting official news about Superman. And now it's Supergirl, and then it'll be Superman again. And so far, there's not even been a whisper of a different Batman. And that's just, as a concept for us, that's just absolutely loopy.
It's so alien, no pun intended, but it's so odd that,
I feel quite greedy.
I see Batman people, I know, and I see Batman people clamoring, and I'm like, now you know how it feels.
Now you know. I hope it lasts.
That, and not to say I don't welcome it, because I do, and I'm dying to see Batman Part 2. I absolutely loved Matt Reeves' version for Part 1. I still, in the back of my mind at some point, I'm like, did they delay this to make it cohesive, but I'm in some weird curb of a cul-de-sac where I'm cool if they do that. I'm cool if they don't. Yeah. I think I might be the only person that lives here. I don't know. You want to move in with me? I don't think anybody else.
If it works well with those two sure. together, make it so. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Because I loved that Batman universe. I can remember seeing it for the first time, and I can remember just that whole Halloween. It was that was like, oh, that's a Batman voice. That's fantastic. But again, a young Batman, someone that is learning and evolving. But for me, there was a moment when I got to watch that Batman version with a live orchestra.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this all works together. And again, it worked, but it was just a regular film screening.
Right.
But that with that music as well. But I'd be more than happy to see Corbin Sweat and Patterson together.
Every art I have seen where somebody has put them together, I'm like, looks good. Yeah. Fine if it doesn't happen. Fine if it does. If that's my left brain, my right brain is going, I'm ready to see blue and gray, yellow oval.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen they're releasing Keaton? Yeah. Hot Toys of the blue and gray suit.
I've been trying not to look at anything from Hot Toys right now.
I know. Bad time of year.
Bad time. But it works. And if it did work, fantastic. If it didn't, it didn't. But World's Finest at some point in our lives has to happen.
Yeah.
It has to happen.
I think Clayface will be our real indicator of where this Batman lands for us. Obviously, we've seen glimpses in Creature Commandos, and I'll be interested to see where that lands, but it's hard to even
fathom it.
It's hard to even look again, because you go back to the well of it. We're finally feasting the Superman fans, because I include Supergirl in that.
Oh no, of course.
In the same way that I would include, you know, Batgirl, or, you know, I say that the Bat family gets a whole lot of love, to the point they're getting spinoff shows and video games and stuff like that more often than not, and Superman fans get nothing. So it is an odd place to be in, where we're 3 years in a row we're going to get S.H.I.E.L.D. related films. Unheard of.
Still pinching myself over that as well, which is just marvelous. But it's why we do this, Derek. It's why we've always done it.
Absolutely.
There's really a dull day. But soon, though, we will both be back and talking about the trailer, breaking that down again with a fine-tooth comb, listening for clues, listening for tones and the pitches in the music changing. It's going to be exciting times. And just to witness other people and fans around the world get excited for this fantastic character that is so directly attached to Superman. It's magical.
And
it's magical.
David's going to be in it, right? I think we'll be seeing David in it.
I mean, we know they were very, very close on set on different days when different things were being filmed. And you get these people that get the real red string. Well, David flew into this state on this date and then flew out on that date. Uh-huh. He had time to drop by and, you know, put on another wig. And now everyone's going crazy because his hair's getting long again.
Mm-hmm.
There was a picture that got released.
I saw that.
Yeah. It's like,
things are shaping up. What, February? Is that what I saw? We start shooting. Yeah. Is that what Holt said at Comic-Con the other day?
They're not messing about. They are not messing about. It's never a dull day.
But I am not mad about it.
I mean, we can sleep at some point. We just don't know when.
Not yet, buddy.
Not yet, no. We've still got a long way to go. But oh, well, that was a joy, as always. I think we've covered most of the bases so far. Things that we're excited for, things that we're suspicious about, things that we're a bit cautious about as well. There's a lot happening. There was a lot happening.
Keep crypto safe.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not worried about that. That would be, again, that's a Joss Whedon thing. To roll him out as your mascot and then kill him off, that's a Joss Whedon thing.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
I mean, if they're adding Lobo, then, you know, there's probably some other aspects to the story they can change as well. I don't want to be in a theater and sort of see all these kids really excited for Crypto, and then that happens. Oh,
the goodest boy.
Yeah, he has been all summer long. Oh, Derek, right. Where can people find you online, sir? Let's do
always the House of L, superhouseofl.com. Search the House of L wherever you listen to podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review, and all your social media, wherever you do your doom scrolling at. You can find us at Super House of L as well. Yeah. TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, what have you.
Yeah, and as always, we're going to be getting more vocal over the upcoming weeks and months when we get more and more little tidbits of crumbs about this movie.
Absolutely.
Especially when the new merchandise comes out as well. Ah, well, I've been Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel, and this has been an absolute joy. Derek, I can't wait for the future. 2026 is going to be another fantastic year, and I can't wait to see what it brings for both of us as well, my good man.
I love doing it with you.
Take care, buddy.